volunteers who serve week in and week out. If you would like to ask your kids about what they're learning, you should be able to get one of these from one of the teachers or the helpers or maybe your kid as they come out of class. Grades 1 through 5, there is a parent talk sheet you can work through with them if you are interested in that. So, hey, what was it like when you asked your dad for something and he didn't answer or he said no, but you really wanted it and so you kept asking? How did that go? So, I think what my boys would say is we'd ask, and Dad would typically say no to almost everything. And then we'd ask again, and Dad would be like, ask again, see what happens. Or, ask again, something bad will happen. You won't like it. And you're like, bro, that's because you only had sons. If you had daughters, all they'd have to do is point. Probably true. Probably that's the way it's going to go with grandkids. But that was not my son's experience. So my question is, when we ask God for something and we don't get an answer, or the answer seems to be no, should we keep praying? And if we should, why? Why should we keep praying if the answer appears to be, seems to be no? We're going to look at Matthew chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to open them with me, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 15 today. And we're going to look at a lady who I think is in the Bible because she refused to take no for an answer. We're going to look at a lady who just insisted on being heard and insisted on being answered and just kept on asking. We're doing a series called Kingdom Ready, and being kingdom ready sometimes requires persisting in prayer. Before we jump in, let me ask the Lord's leading. Dear Heavenly Father, these are your people gathered in your name to worship you. And Lord, I just pray that you'd meet us in your word and show us your glory anew. Lord, I pray that you would stand in front of me while I'm in front of them. I ask that you would talk over me while I talk to them, that we would be changed forever for good. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 15, we'll pick it up in verse 21. Just for reference, though, before we jump in, Jerusalem is there on the map. The Dead Sea is down here. This is the Jordan River. This is the Sea of Galilee. Capernaum, Jesus' home base. I don't know if I can, it's a long ways to kind of hold it really still. I had too much coffee this morning. Capernaum is right there. Jesus has been, last time we saw him, in Gennesaret, so very close to Capernaum on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus went away from there, Gennesaret, and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. So I pointed out the Sea of Galilee is down here. Northernmost city, anyway, in Israelite Judean-controlled territory is Caesarea Philippi. We'll see that city in a little bit, not today, but in a couple weeks. And Jesus goes up to the Tyre is an island, and Sidon is up here. It's a region, and it's controlled by the Gentiles. Jesus leaves Israelite territory and goes into Gentile territory. I think because he is preparing to go up to Jerusalem and die. And he's primarily preparing his disciples for when he's going to depart from them. And so it's like, let's go up here and get away from the crowds who will recognize us. Let's go up here and have a staff meeting. And then we'll come back and we'll re-engage. But first, we need to get alone and I need to prepare you for when I leave. I think that's what's going on. And he withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying. when you hear crying, I don't want you to think just sitting quietly and meekly crying. I want you to hear screaming and wailing and clawing and doing everything she can to get Jesus' attention. So before we keep going, I just want to give you a little bit of background, because the New Testament assumes all of this, and you may not have all of this backstory. So back in Genesis chapter 12, God made a promise to Abraham that he would make of him a great nation and that he would bless all the nations and families of the earth through him. So if I was drawing a picture of it for you, I would draw it like this. God made a promise to Abraham that Israel would be his people and that this would be good for and a blessing to all of the nations. But in order for that to happen, Israel had to be distinct from the nations. You can't bless the nations if you're one of the nations, if you're just like the nations. Israel had to be distinct from the nations. And so that's kind of part of their history of going into exile, because they become just like the nations or worse than the nations, coming out of exile and having them be distinct and serve only God. And so I think what's going on here is Jesus tells his disciples not to go to the Gentiles, and Jesus is going to tell this lady, I didn't come for the Gentiles, because he's keeping his promise to Abraham. I'm going to make of you a great nation, and through you I'm going to bless all the nations. So Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, that's coming, but that's not yet. Jesus is still keeping his promise to Israel. So let me show you. So when Jesus is sending out his disciples on their first training mission, these 12 Jesus sent out instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles. So this Canaanite woman would be a Gentile, but we're not going to the Gentiles yet because we're keeping the promise to Abraham first. We will go to the Gentiles, but not yet. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is what Jesus tells his disciples, and this is the mission it appears that Jesus is living out. So she says in response, she cries out after Jesus, Behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. You're going to see, as one of you pointed out, that she calls him Lord repeatedly here. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. I'm just going to tell you, I feel tension about that. I think because I know and love Jesus, and what I do know and love about Jesus, I just read, and he answered her not a word. He did not answer her a word. And I'm like, how is that true to what else I know about Jesus? But I think it's because he knows he has to prepare his disciples for his departure, and he knows he's going to keep a promise to Abraham. He will bless her eventually, but right now he's got to keep this promise to Abraham. And it could be that he's testing her and encouraging her in her faith, and you're going to grow her faith while she waits. Because this has been some of your experience too. But he did not answer her a word. Some of you probably lived that. I mean, this is a big enough room. Some of you have been praying for things for years and years and years. You've been praying for things longer than I've been alive. And it seems like I'm living in verse 23, but he did not answer her a word. It doesn't mean he doesn't hear. It doesn't mean he doesn't care, but you haven't seen an answer yet. But he did not answer her a word, and I love this, she will not take no for an answer. She is persistent. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." She goes to Jesus and she cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And he's like, continues to walk. And then she goes to the disciples and she's like hanging on them and crying, "Please make him answer me, please." And they finally go to Jesus and they're like, "Please do something about this. We can't stand it for another minute." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Remember, that's what he told his disciples. We got to keep this promise to Abraham. We're focused on Israel. We will bless all the nations through Israel, but first we're going to focus on Israel. Now, when he says lost sheep, it just reminds me how God chose Israel. And it wasn't because Israel had their stuff together. So in 16:4, he calls Israel of that time a wicked and adulterous generation. And he says in 23, it's the end of the seven woes, when he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets and kill those sent to you." Like, he didn't pick Israel because they had it all together and they were perfect. And he's like, "Finally, I found a group that I can work with. They're so perfect." And he doesn't pick you, and he doesn't pick me because we have our stuff together either. He picks us because he loves us, and he picks us, and I don't know why. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but she will not," like, so she hits the ball to his court, "Have mercy on me, son of David." He hits it back by ignoring her. She hits it back by going to the disciples. The disciples go to Jesus and say, "Please send her away." He hits it back to her and says, "I have come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She's going to hit it back now. She came, just let each phrase here sink in. She came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." I'm really surprised so many of you are still awake. Like, good job, you're all still awake. As far as I can tell, you're all still awake. Great job. Some of you might go to sleep soon. I understand. I can't keep your attention the whole time I speak. Before you go to sleep, I just want to, you know, I'm going to have points that I'm going to preach in a minute. But before I do that, just because I gotta get this one in before you leave me and go back to daydreaming or sleeping or whatever is going to happen next. Like, if Jesus isn't answering, do what this woman did. Come to him, actually kneel before him, and pray her prayer, "Lord, help me." You don't have to go to seminary to pray that prayer. You don't have to read your Bible through every year for decades to pray that prayer. You don't have to have, you just have to know that you have a desperate need and that he is the one that can help. That's what you got to know. That's what you got to believe to pray that prayer. "Lord, help me." She came and knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered. You know, so he hits it back to her now. "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Wow. Wow. Here's the best I can do. Here's the best I can do. I think Jesus has taken his 12 up to Tyre and Sidon, in deep into Gentile territory, well away from the crowds that know him, because he has to work with them and get them ready for his departure. And I think he also knows what he's told them of, "We're not going to Gentiles yet. We will go to Gentiles, but not yet." And so I wonder, and this is just me speculating now, I wonder if he says this to her with a smirk on his face, like, "It is not right. Like, I shouldn't be doing a miracle for you right now, because I am not up here to feed the 5,000. I am not up here to put on a three-day healing clinic. I am not up here to reteach the Sermon on the Mount over the next couple days. I am up here to focus on the 12 so that I can get them ready for my departure when they will go to you. But I'm not up here for you yet. I wonder if that's kind of how he says this. So she gets the idea that she's not to go and tell all her friends and bring them there, and Jesus won't be able to finish what he's doing with his disciples. So if she hits it to Jesus and says, please, Lord, help. And then he hits it back to her and says, it's not right for me to give the children's bread, meaning like Abraham's children, to the dogs, meaning like Gentiles. Then what do you think she'll do? What do you think she'll be like? You're right, I'll just go away sad. Do you think that's what she'll do? I would. Honestly, I probably would. I don't know how great my tolerance is for unanswered prayers. You know, for how many times I can keep praying the same thing and have God not answer and then just keep praying anyway. She said, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You want me to be a dog? Fine, I'll be a dog. Then just give me some crumbs. I don't care. Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. All right, what can we learn about Jesus being Lord from this passage? Well, first I'd have to say what we learn is that Jesus has power to help. He is the one who can help. You know, just given what we know about this lady from these prayers and her interaction with Jesus, you got to think that if the doctor said, yeah, we can see your daughter in like 3 months, she'd be like, you're going to see him in about 3 minutes. You know, like she probably had been to the doctors if there were doctors that would see you for this kind of thing. She had found a way to get the medication. She'd found a way to do the counseling. She'd found a way to get to be on the diet and the cleanse, and she'd found a way to get the therapy and the this and the that and the other. And nothing worked. She's like, Jesus, only you can solve this. So I will not stop asking until you solve this. There are some problems only Jesus can solve. Believe he can help. Second, you believe that Jesus answers in his time. So he did not answer her a word. That doesn't mean he'll never answer. It means he answers when he is ready to answer. And well, you know, so we could speculate as to why Jesus made the conversation go back and forth like it did, and I offered you my best guess, but you might have a different guess, and it would just be a guess. The bottom line is, I don't know if we can ever figure out exactly what God is doing because he is God and we are but dust. So I've given up trying to tell people what I think God is doing in their lives because I don't have categories to think in God-like categories. But what I know is he answers in his time, and that you see this throughout the Bible. So if you go all the way back to Abraham's great-great-great-grandchildren, and you see them in Egypt, and they're praying and crying out to God in Egypt for 400 years before God sends Moses to save them, they would tell you that God answers in his time. Or if you look at Daniel, who prayed 3 times a day, opens his window, looks towards Jerusalem and prays 3 times a day. He's over in Babylon. Things are not okay. He shouldn't be in Babylon. He should be in Jerusalem, but he prays towards Jerusalem 3 times a day for years. He would tell you God answers in his time. Or if you think of in the New Testament, when we're back in Jerusalem, but Rome is in charge and Rome is in control and not everything is okay, there's an old priest by the name of Zechariah who prays his whole life that God would send the Messiah and that God would send him, give him a son. And God sends Gabriel, and Gabriel stands next to him in the temple and says to him, Zechariah, God has heard and is answering your prayers. And he's like, I don't know. Right? God answers in his time. So just because God hasn't answered, look, I just believe in a room this size, there are so many of you that have been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. Just because he answered yet doesn't mean he's not going to answer at all. He hears and he answers prayer in his time. He's Lord after all. He's Lord. We're not Lord. He knows better than we do when to answer which prayers. Okay, so what we've said so far is that he's the one that can help. Second, we said he answers in his time. Third, he answers according. This is really hard. He answers according to our faith. He looks at her and says, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. In Matthew 9:29, there are two blind men who come to Jesus for healing. And Jesus says, let it be done for you according to your faith. I mean, you know the different stories in the New Testament about the lady who has the issue of blood, and she's been unclean, and she pushes through the crowd, and she finds a way to touch Jesus, and Jesus commends her faith. You think of the Gentile centurion who comes to Jesus and says, would you heal my servant? And Jesus says, you don't even have to go with me. Just say the word, and I know what it is to be in charge. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus does it. And then he commends his faith. He says, I haven't even seen faith like this in Israel. Somehow, our faith matters in how he answers prayer. I can't explain how he is king and has a plan and is working his plan, and how our faith matters really truly makes a difference when he's working his plan. But it does. Both are true. He answers in his time and he answers according to our faith. And one of the measures of faith is your endurance quotient of can you keep asking? Will you keep asking? So, if Jesus is Lord, number one, he's the one that can help. Number two, he answers in his time. Number three, he answers according to our faith. Okay, so what should we do? Like, positively, what should we do? Well, here's how I would put it. Number one, I'd say, keep asking. So this lady kept asking. She kept hitting it back to Jesus saying, please help, please help, please help. You are Lord. You are the only one that can help. Please help. Keep on asking. Keep on asking. You know, I've said a couple times, I know that in a room this size, there are people that have been asking for years and he hasn't answered yet. I also think that probably in a room this size, there's people who have asked once or twice and then given up and moved on. And this narrative might kind of confront you to say, maybe faith would keep asking. Believe that he is Lord, that he is showing up committed to you, that he is voluntarily walking up to Jerusalem to die on the cross for our sins. He loves you that much. He's dying on the cross in love with you. That he's rising from the dead powerful. That he's sharing himself with us in the person of the Holy Spirit generous. Please keep asking. Jesus is Lord, so what should we do? Number one, we should keep asking. What should we do? Number two, do not listen to the people who tell you, look, you've been asking for this for so long, you might as well ask for something else. I want to read verse 23 to you. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, like in front of her, because she was not giving them breathing room. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. I mean, can you imagine hearing the disciples say that about you? Send her away. Like, I'm right here because she is crying out after us. She's like, I don't care. I'm going to keep asking. I mean, you know that these guys are like going to become the apostles. This would be worse than a pastor saying to you, probably not worth praying about that anymore. These guys are going to become the apostles. These guys are eyewitnesses who will be the foundation of the church and will author much of the New Testament. And they're saying, send her away. She's in the Bible because she did not go away. She kept asking. Will you keep asking? Do not listen to them. And then number three, take courage. Take courage. Now, here's the thing, is her daughter was healed instantly. And this may happen to you. Sometimes God does answer prayers like this. But what I want you to kind of reckon with is, even though her prayers were answered, that doesn't mean she was in heaven. Not yet. It doesn't mean her daughter was in heaven yet. Jesus said that sometimes when a demon is driven out of someone, it goes out into a desert place and wanders around, doesn't have a home, and so it gets a couple of its friends, and then it comes back and repossesses the person. I don't like to think that, but that could have happened to her. We don't know. I mean, it might be that 10 years later or 2 months later, she gets sick and is deathly ill and dies. We don't know. Not in heaven yet. Could be that she dies in pregnancy. Could be that she lives a long, healthy life and finally dies of old age. But what we know is she's not in heaven yet, just like you're not in heaven yet, just like I'm not in heaven yet. We live in a place where bad things keep happening. So even though you see an instance of Jesus saying, this is what the kingdom is like, and he heals her and she's healed instantly, that doesn't mean that she never experiences anything bad ever again. It's just pointing us towards heaven of this is what heaven will be like, this healing. So take courage, because the day is coming when the former things, like the bad things that are part of this age, they will pass away. Every inch of them will pass away. So let me read to you about that. When in Revelation 21, when the king returns, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What are the bad things that have brought tears to your eyes? Those things will pass away. It will be behind us one day. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. The day is coming when he will make all things completely, 100% new. And the former things will pass away. So, when I asked you in the beginning, what would God have you keep praying about? Maybe you've been praying about it, and this is an encouragement to continue praying about it. Maybe you haven't been praying about it. Maybe you prayed once and you forgot about it and moved on with life. And this is an encouragement that you would keep on praying about it. What is it that this you could take from this passage that you'd remember about God to encourage you to keep praying? What could you remember about God to help you keep praying? Is it that he can help? Is it that he answers in his time? Is it that he answers according to our faith? Maybe you could, if you rode with somebody, maybe you could talk about that on the way home. What is it that you'd remember about Jesus from this passage? That he can help, that he answers in his time, that he answers according to our faith. And what is it that you could keep doing? You could keep asking. You could not listen to them when they tell you to be quiet, go away, stop praying about it, stop bringing that up, stop making that your prayer request. You could take courage that one day God will make all things new. So we started with, why keep asking? Why keep praying? And the bottom line is, if you can only remember one thing. You know, I told you in the beginning, like when my kids would come and ask me and ask me and ask me and ask me, I'd say, ask that one more time and see what happens. You know what God says? When we keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking, you know what God does? He smiles and is like, I love that. It shows your faith. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just asked that you would help us keep on asking. Help us not give up. Help us believe that you have the answers. Help us believe that you are the help that we need. Give us endurance to ask again. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.